Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three extremely kind and knowledgeable boys. Thank you for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo. Sitting across from me, we have Ben Vanell.
Hey, Tommy. Episode 108. I'm feeling great.
Good Lord. And also joining us...
It's me, Adam Knox. Episode 108. Love that 108.
Whoa!
It's a real toasty day here in Melbourne.
Yeah, it feels like it's 108 degrees which Celsius.
I bet that a weather report from a city that people probably don't live in listening to this on a day that it no longer is.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Is
you
exactly
gotta,
the
but
content.
You got to talk about it.
That's right.
It's at the top of your mind. Mm-hmm. It's all you can do.
I don't mind chatting about the weather with
me
people.
Me either.
People mock it as me though either. It's the most boring thing you can talk about. But it's literally the only thing I have in common with anyone.
Well, with everyone. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I meant anyone.
What?
I agree absolutely. Like a lot of the stuff that I care about, no one wants to see. Sit and hear me fucking hold court about Mario for 5 hours.
Yeah.
So that's fine. Let's just talk about how it's hard to sleep at the moment.
I've been tossing and turning.
So much Mario.
That's not bad. A podcast that's just about the weather on that day that you record it.
Yeah.
So it's immediately obsolete every time. In many ways, it's like this.
Yeah.
Like,
counterpoint, that is bad.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it.
All right, let's do it
I think
then.
It's an interesting challenge.
Weather report.
It'd be like a conversation starter. I reckon you'd start by talking about the weather and then it would lead into other things.
That's,
I mean, we started spending half an hour on this show talking about what we're all wearing, which no one can see and who cares. And people love it. People love that part of the show.
Should we check back in with a fashion report?
I reckon, should we? Hey, listeners. Let us know right now telepathically as we're recording this if you want us to do a fashion report.
I'm getting a lot of yeses. I'm getting a lot of yeses.
Oh. Rob Banks, by the way, I'm miming holding a letter up to my forehead like Johnny
is
Carson.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
You look like you're holding a tinfoil helmet over your head.
Robbing banks, destroying the Earth's climate, fashion report. Three things we shouldn't do.
Three things we shouldn't do.
It's amazing that you know, like you live in Australia and you're like 21 and
I was born
two
years before Johnny Carson retired.
you knew enough about him to know that he blows in the envelope when he takes the piece of paper out.
Yeah, Karnak, baby.
Yeah, Karnak the Magnificent or whatever.
I think so.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just Karnak the Great.
Maybe.
No, I think it was Magnificent.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've gone back and watched a lot of Johnny Carson.
Have you really?
Yeah.
So have I, yeah. Well, I think both of us, we watch a lot of old talk shows on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a long time, I never thought he was a real person because he's in The Simpsons a lot. Because he's in The Simpsons a lot and he just seems like a Simpsons character.
From the episode where he twirls the car around his head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know,
when they're watching him on, there's a scene where I think like Chief Wiggum is watching him late at night.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's got the fez on and he's doing that. And it's like, well, that's a funny Simpsons thing. That can't be real.
Yeah. I had the exact opposite experience. With Dredderick Tatum.
With Indian people in 7-Eleven.
I thought Dredderick Tatum was a real person.
Right.
For many years.
Right.
Yeah. So do we want to do a fashion report?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I mean, because it's a hot day.
Yeah.
And I feel like we've all approached this in very different ways. Is that fair?
I agree, yeah.
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 So let's start with the great man over here, Ben Vanell.
I was really confused, okay? I just got home from work and I was like, I was feeling pretty fresh, feeling pretty fine. I was wearing like a linen shirt, you know, like a button-down shirt for work.
Yep.
I was feeling okay, but I was like, no, I've got to wear a t-shirt. I'm gonna heat up. Wrong decision. I reckon I'm hotter in the t-shirt than I was in the shirt.
Well, what's interesting
more breathable, the shirt.
It's interesting to me is that, because I got here a bit early and you said, I'm just changing.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, here we go. And then you come out in black trousers and your work shoes. See, that's the problem. You need to get into some shorts.
You interrupted my change session.
Terribly sorry.
That's quite all right. But yeah, I'm in like, you know, skinny black jeans and work shoes. And yeah, a t-shirt that is kind of not breathable.
Mm.
You need a breathable t-shirt. Stranger Things season 2. I've got the letter up to my head, by the way. Stranger Things season 2.
You should have the gun up to your head.
Grandmothers. And this segment. Things I want to fuck. No, things things that bore me to death. Was
things
gonna
that
be,
are getting old, I'll do I a thought you were going to say. Yeah.
Well, because I woke up this morning, as I'm wont to do.
Yes.
And I woke up at my girlfriend's house who...
Okay, so you all have, right. Well, I get it.
Well, I was thinking about it because you got a geeky girlfriend. Yes. You got a jock girlfriend.
Uh-huh. Yes.
What's mine going to be?
Ooh.
What's in the middle of
what's
geek
left?
And jock?
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
British, so I was thinking cheeky.
Or British.
No, but British is just... British isn't a descriptor of a person.
I think it
that's
is.
That's the Venn diagram of a jock and a nerd is the British.
Yes. Even because English rugby players sound yeah. like nerds.
They
it's perfect.
Okay.
So we got the jock, the nerd, and the Brit.
My
wow.
rugby, my rugby, British rugby girlfriend, my British bulldog.
We got to do a Halloween episode of this show where those three host an episode.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
That'd be yeah. funny. Anyway, I woke up there and then I had to go to my parents. Anyway, so I'm dressed for a colder evening yesterday
than
I am for a hot day today,
yep.
is the shame.
Yeah.
Well, I've got black jeans.
I was hanging out with your girlfriend. Well, we were all hanging out together, but I was talking...
What?
I was talking out to, I was talking so you to your girlfriend the other night.
Stranger Things season 2, grandmothers, and you. Three things that have betrayed me.
Three things that are cucking me.
I went in, I was trying to get some information out of her about that house of yours.
Oh,
and
yeah.
you'd be happy to know she is a vault. She did not give anything up. Like, I don't know if you worded her up or whatever, you weirdo. But I was like, so what's going on in there? What's the? Just talk me through the layout. And she was like, I don't really want to say. So, yeah, I was like, because I said, me and Ben and the listeners of our podcast really want to know what's going on in there. And she said, yeah, I bet you do. So she's onto it.
I probably told her about how it's like
it's a dim joke. Yeah,
I should have just fucking like we should have if we'd have recorded the first episode there. But now that everyone wants to know, I'm freaked out by it.
It's so good. There weren't this many questions about the compound that they found Bin Laden in. Like there was less scrutiny for that.
I reckon there's as much anime in there. Though.
That's right. We didn't talk about that last week. And that happened last week. That they so found... what happened here? They released a list of files that they found on Bin Laden's computer.
Yeah, yeah, which was like included like the Final Fantasy game.
Final Fantasy VII was...
A Game Boy or a Nintendo DS emulator. Like well, there was Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars was on there.
Yeah, it was all pirated stuff, which I'd have thought he'd have more morals than that.
It's karma. You got to balance it out. You did that one big thing. Save a bunch of puppies and legally pay for games afterwards.
I did see a list, a bullet point list of everything you had, and it was like, that was like everything that I owned in my late
he's
teens.
He's a full weeb.
Yeah.
He's a big time weeb.
Yeah.
It's probably...
You seem reluctant to tee off on Bin Laden for some reason.
Yeah.
Look, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to.
It's just a weird foible of mine.
Look.
But,
can't.
Oh, no.
I got another envelope.
Here we go. Here we go.
Barbecue grills, somebody else's dog without asking, and Osama Bin Laden jokes. Three things you shouldn't touch.
Oh.
What was the second one?
Someone else's dog.
Someone else's dog.
Without asking.
Oh, without asking. Yeah. Still, that happens all the time.
Yeah.
It doesn't make it good. It doesn't make it right.
Because some dogs will go to bite.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got to check with the owner.
You know what I remember the other day when we would take our dog into the vet and the vet would talk to the dog.
Way, just really, I don't want to interrupt this story, but I'm going to do it.
Were you going to say, do you think when he said our dog, he meant our?
No.
The
podcast dog. Yeah.
Waffles the podcast dog.
Very few video game things have happened this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out at 20 minutes in or whatever it is.
Looked at his wrist. No watch.
No.
You're all about mime today, Nox.
We would take our dog to the vet and the vet would... I just remember this the other day where the vet would sort of go, Thorn, you've, you know, put on a bit of weight, haven't you? Like, t- talking to the dog.
Yeah.
But what this motherfucker is doing is he's having a crack at me and Dad. Do
absolutely,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I only just put that together. I'm like, this piece of shit.
Yeah.
Because I just bought into the reality of it. Yeah, I'm like, you've let yourself go, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
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 That's pretty, but like, it's a good tactic because you can't get mad at him because he's just being like, yeah. if I went, oh, hello, Wall, you're near a fuckwit, aren't you?
I wouldn't be offended at all.
I'm talking to the wall.
Oh, that's cute. He's talking to the wall like a normal person. But just imagine, there must be vets out there that are just like, that pride themselves on being the no-nonsense vet where someone comes in with a dog and they're just doing it. The poor thing can't walk and it's like, listen, you fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lay off the schmackos. Anyway.
That's what my doctor said to me.
How do you feel about last week? Basically a comment that you made on Wolfenstein 2 has been, now, a certain website called the AV Club have been parroting a statement that you made about the game as one of their main headlines for the game.
Literally or just the same thought?
Well,
they're not quoting you.
Yeah.
They could be. I see people getting quoted in the media all the time.
You're not famous.
If the AV Club...
Yeah, neither's dude who saw a house burn down, but they go up and they ask him, like, what was it like? They don't go like, oh, well, you know, Christian Slater didn't see a house burn down.
Did they come to you?
I didn't hear from them, but maybe my management dealt with it.
If the AV Club had a headline that was Adam Knox says, this wouldn't be the first time you were hearing about it.
It could be.
Unless it had happened like 3 minutes ago before we started recording.
I deleted my Google alert for my name.
Because
a soldier died and that was his name and I started to get sad.
Is that true?
Yeah.
That is sad.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
There have been multiple soldiers with my names because I used to get covert emails from the US military.
Really?
I'm not even kidding.
What?
I used to get...
Break open the dossier.
Oh, we need to add more blank pages.
I don't think it was the same soldier as the one who died.
We need a second manila folder, I think.
It happened about 3 times that I got emails for this soldier of like, okay, here's what you need to be tomorrow.
Oh my God. Like,
Jesus.
What?
And I replied to them like
replied to them.
Well, I just said
your
like
own fault for having the email war machine Adam Knox at gmail.com.
I just said I think you have the wrong guy.
I think
you could have been conscripted into a war.
Happy to be proven wrong, but I've got a hunch that this is for someone else. Oh my God!
I hung up my gun a long time ago.
Three times they tried to send you off into a war zone.
Well, or at least. Like the real Adam Knox, I don't even consider myself to be the soldier version of him.
The talented Adam Knox.
He woke up late, and all of his friends had gone because they'd all gotten the emails.
Mm. Oh yeah. Man! So even the military Adam Knox is late for everything,
but because his emails are redirected. What do you mean even?
You got to promise us next time you get one of these, you got to go through with it.
You got to go off to war.
You got to go off to war.
It's not a chance.
For the sake of content.
Yeah.
Come on. Then you can finally compare the experience of real war to those Call of Duty games you've always gone about. Yeah. You're saying they're inaccurate. Well, put your
Maybe
fucking money
fantastic.
Where your mouth is. Oh, great.
Adam Knox.
We need to finish the fashion report.
I was wondering how late we were going to leave it.
So Adam's in his army fatigues, as usual. Just a floating head as far as I'm concerned. No, you're also in black jeans.
Yeah, jeans and a shirt.
You took your shoes off.
Mm. Yep.
And you're in sort of a black checkered shirt, which from a distance when you're walking down the street looked like a T-shirt.
It's green and black.
Mm. Is it green and black?
Well, I think that's green.
I guess it's kind of like an olive.
Yeah.
It's a very, a very fine check. It's like a bit of a houndstooth.
Yeah. Almost, yeah. Mm. Yeah, very close.
Maybe.
A small plaid. Almost.
Have I ever mentioned that I know nothing about fashion? On this
I think
podcast.
It was implied.
You haven't needed to.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, and you told me you're wearing...
Yeah, do me, as the actress said to the bishop.
You've got your black and white slides on.
Mm-hmm.
You've got blue shorts with sort of a 90s-ish...
A bit of a tropical
pattern.
Mm. A tropical pattern. They're swimmers, actually.
And, oh, really?
a white T-shirt with a little sailboat on the chest that says, New York only.
Yep.
Which you're wearing in Melbourne.
Yeah.
I can see your embarrassing tattoo peeking out.
Oh, can you now?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can see the tail of the dolphin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, should we talk about that?
Have we talked about that on this show?
We have 100% talked about that.
Have we?
Yeah.
Have we talked about whether or not it's embarrassing to you now?
It's on basically my thigh. So it was embarrassing from day one, which is good kind of long-term protection.
Sure, sure.
Like I'm never going to suddenly go, oh, fuck, I regret this. And regret it immediately from day one.
You're never having people like turn around and make fun of you because you were on stage taking the brunt of it when it happened, like, you know.
Yeah, I did it. Yeah. But it's also in an area that's, like, I forget that I have it. It's not exposed. Yeah. It's not really an issue.
Yeah.
I recommend everyone get a tattoo on the thigh.
Yeah,
because
nice.
You genuinely forget it's there. And then every now and then in the shower, I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll just take a look down there and see what's going on these days. Oh, that's still there. Okay.
It hasn't changed. It hasn't faded or turned into something else. Nice.
I've got another envelope here. Red Rooster.
You put your beer down Red to Rooster. Hold the envelope up.
Red
to your
Rooster,
head.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Tommy Dasilo. Name three very cool thighs.
Yeah.
Did you see what I mean? I couldn't think of a second one. I only had Red Rooster and you.
Right.
Why is The Rock a cool thigh?
Because he's got really well-defined thighs.
Ripped, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Look at his thighs and tell me they're not good. How fucking more simple could it be?
They're not cool, though.
Yeah, they are. It's cool to have strong thighs.
Okay.
This is the worst podcast we've ever done.
What about Red Rooster, Dwayne The Rock Johnson in the fridge?
Oh,
that makes
cool
way
thighs.
Less sense.
Cool thighs.
No, I'm on board with that.
All right, what about gribble gobble gobble gobble? You know, that makes less sense. Is that funnier now?
Is that busting my gut up.
I'm disappointed if you genuinely don't think this is good because I'm having a wonderful time.
Yeah.
I reckon we are in rare form this
evening. Absolutely.
I almost never want to talk about video games on this goddamn show ever again. So there was some news this week that Injustice 2.
Yes.
Great Metallica. They're doing a sequel.
Oh, very good.
A game that you guys both loved.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Is that correct?
Yes.
They announced some new characters that are coming. There's three sets of characters all up, two of whom I can't remember who they are because I don't give a fuck. And then most importantly, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
Which, having not played this game, I think is fucking sick.
Oh, having played it, it's cool. Yeah.
I agree.
It's
looks like they're going to function as one character, all four of them as one character.
That's mad.
So either switching between them or like constantly as a group. I don't know. I don't think they've shown any actual footage of it.
No,
just
no.
Just like a little trailer of them jumping in and being like, party!
Is it stupid that this is the thing that's made me go, I gotta fucking check out this game?
Absolutely not.
No, it's cool.
It's very cool.
It's really cool, yeah.
I didn't realize the Ninja Turtles were DC.
I didn't realize until you just said that.
I guess that's the link, right? That they're DC comics.
I guess.
I don't know there's a weird, long, protracted history of the rights to the Ninja Turtles that I can't quite remember that I think now, because there's current Ninja Turtles comics that come out and they're not by DC. Yeah. I think they've done stuff with DC where they've like met Batman and whatever, but if you go into a comic book shop, there's like four different Ninja Turtles series on the go at any one time.
Yeah.
I think the original guys have the rights back to it now, but I do know it's like a kind of a weird, murky thing with like all the stuff that's all the licensing stuff.
Because also, I have a feeling that the DC video games are produced by Warner Brothers Entertainment, and maybe they distribute the films.
Have the rights.
There could be some kind of weird thing there.
I don't remember. I don't think it would be there because it's Michael Bay, and I don't think he works with. I don't remember.
I think it's just a thing where.
And it's good. These Ninja Turtles have the proper faces. They have the old, actual turtle faces.
Yeah. I think they're just licensed to license, where it's like they turn up and go, "Hey, we want to have the things in. Do you want the money?" But that looks cool, especially if they all function as one.
Yeah,
as one big.
I think
turtle.
They will do. I think it'll be like. Do you remember the Pokemon trainer from Smash Brothers?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And he had
all
three of them. Like you can probably rotate between them.
Yeah, that's cool.
In the old Mortal Kombat games, or like the ones on the PS2 sort of era, you could switch between different fighting styles. So each character had sort of three different characters in it.
Right.
You just use the triggers or whatever to switch between. I'd imagine it would work something like that.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a turtle's a turtle, but they've each got different weapons.
That's right. And different attitudes.
Well, one of them's cool, but here's the caveat. If he was just cool, overpowered.
Yeah.
But he's also rude.
Mm.
So, who's your favorite rude turtle?
My favorite rude turtle.
No, your favorite turtle.
Any turtle.
No, of the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, okay.
Did you have a different one in mind?
Yeah, Franklin.
The one that wins the race against the rabbit.
That was a tortoise.
Dana Carvey's impression in
very
Master of Disguise.
Very good.
Yeah.
I was going to call it Master of Impressions. Might as well be what that's called.
That was the working title.
Yeah. I don't know. I actually was never really a huge fan of the Ninja Turtles.
I was. Yeah. I was big time was, and Donatello was my favorite. He did machines.
Yeah. Yeah.
Donatello is definitely the nerdiest, most closest to a computer turtle.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah. He also, I mean, like, out of the weapons, it's easiest to have a big long stick.
Yeah.
So, hey,
yeah.
When I was a kid, I was whipping a stick around.
Yeah, pulling down curtain rails.
Yeah.
It's crazy that there hasn't been a good Turtles game for a long time now. Because early days of, like, the SNES and everything, those arcade games, although they were very simplistic, were so much fun. And I feel like every now and then they go, we're doing a new Turtles game and it's going to be in the style of the old ones. And it's not. It's a side-scrolling beat 'em up, but they just haven't captured any of the any of the fun, like goofy 90s of it.
There was like an isometric 3D beat 'em up which was also kind of not
the one
good.
That Platinum developed like 2 or 3 years ago.
Right.
That was meant to be terrible. I never played it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've never played any of the Turtles games just because.
Man, those old ones
really
are,
cared about them.
They were fun.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that because of licensing or whatever, they're never going to be included on a SNES Mini or whatever. Because to me, that was the Super Nintendo was Turtles in Time.
Yeah.
You and a friend going through it. Very repetitive, like all you're doing is just, there's no real strategy or skill.
Yeah.
But it just, it's the sound effects when you hit people are cool and the music's very 90s and garish and it's just fun. Some sweet Mode 7 scaling when you get up to the bosses and all that stuff.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, good times.
The NES one as well was like one of the first ones, one of the first games I guess I would have ever owned. And it's so difficult, but it's such a like weird idiosyncratic game of its time where it's like, yeah, it's really hard. Sometimes you literally can't do the jumps across the gaps with a certain
character. Oh, that one
character.
Where it's like top down and then side-scrolling? That game is infuriating.
It's so difficult.
There's videos about how fucked it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's also like the music's fantastic.
Yeah.
The design's really cool. It's just, it's one of my like most nostalgic games from that era.
Yeah, totally. It's sick.
And there's been, kind of not much since that SNES era.
Yeah.
Which is a real shame.
There was more news in regards to
in fighting game characters. What's his name? Noctis from Final Fantasy 15 is going to be in Tekken 7, which I think is cool.
That's cool.
That's a good fit.
Yeah,
I reckon.
And I like how everything it feels like it has to be Smash Brothers now, with just bringing in like every weird franchise gets to have a run.
There's always been dumb little, especially in fighting games. There's been like here's the weird character. Here's the crossover one.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a fan of it. Final Fantasy 15 is one of the weirdest games in a few years.
Yeah,
especially with how like that multiplayer thing for it comes out in a week or so.
Yeah. Yeah,
Or even in a couple. It might be out by the time this is out, and I'm really interested to see what the fuck that is like.
So what's that called?
It's like a co-op. It's called something like We Band Together or something,
right?
And it is a co-op thing. Basically, and just multiplayer fight. The way they've treated that game as though it's like this MMO of like, come back every couple of weeks and there's a new event on. It's like, no. I finished that game.
And it was good.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't. Every week, come back and we've added another minute to Inglorious Bastards. Watch it every week.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Do I have to sit through the whole thing again or do I just go in for the minute and then.
Or if it's in, if it's at, you know, minute 83,
you can tap out.
Have to watch the first 82. Oh.
Okay.
But it's a weird system and I haven't been. I think what I'm going to do is in like 4 years play the
finally
ultimate fucking whatever version.
Yeah. Inglorious Bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. There is something to be said. As much as people criticize like re-releases of games and all that kind of stuff on new platforms and whatever, there is something to be said for like, well, that just means that you get the, if you wait, you then it's like, this has all the other stuff in it that was kind of slowly drip fed across from the from the other
especially
thing.
For about like 10 years, it was, you'd wait for the Game of the Year edition.
Yeah.
And then it would have the DLC or just like it would be and a remastered version almost.
Yeah.
For single player stuff at least.
It's, yeah.
And it's cheaper and, you know, it's probably worth doing if you can be patient with it and are happy to accidentally have stuff spoiled for you in the year that you haven't played it.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah. Remember when they used to release games as like platinum editions?
Yep.
It's a good time. Now they're just more expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. What when it was like, just the kind of gloating of like the boxes, like got all these medals on it. It's like, guess what, boys? We fucking nailed it with this one and we're passing the savings on to you. You fucking idiot who didn't get it yet.
Yeah. 1.5 million people bought fucking Spyro. What's your problem?
Oh, it was the money, was it? Well, here you go, you povo idiot. It's 10 bucks cheaper.
We'll allow you to enjoy this good game.
But the case is covered in all this silver shit. So people are going to know when they look at your shelf that you're a Johnny come lately coward.
All good financially stuff. Smart, yeah.
So this week I've been playing Doom on the Switch, which came out a few days ago now. I was kind of thinking that not sure whether I would go in or not. I kind of figured, I mean, you know, of course talking about it on this is always going to be a big motivator, but also I think it's cool that in this month we have a big push of good third-party stuff coming out on the Switch.
Yep.
And as a lifelong Nintendo owner who's never had that before, I would like to see that continue. So I just went, you know what, I'm gonna do the right thing and put the money down for this to you know, hope that continues. Pardon?
You're no Bin Laden.
Not Bin Ladening it, bro.
You're paying for your games.
Not Bin Ladening it. The Switch emulator that lets you detach your computer monitor and take it with you.
I wonder when that will happen, though, by the way. Like, every Nintendo console.
Now, should we address what just happened?
Has been. Oh, I'm lying down a little bit. It's hot. Get the fuck over it, cunt. It's anyway.
Bit punchy, Knox. A bit punchy this evening.
I get so quickly grumpy when I'm hot.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. That's why I never went to any of my military commitments.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want to be in the sun.
In the desert.
But, all of the other Nintendo platforms in the last, since like the Wii, have really quickly been hacked.
Yeah.
And to the point where you can very easily do it and very easily download games and stuff. Yeah. I wonder if and when that's happening for the Switch.
Well, I mean, there's a whole thing where they've got Breath of the Wild running on a PC. Have we talked about this? Now people are just modding the absolute shit out of it. And it's like you can play as Shrek and Goku and all this crazy stuff in there, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but also like, people have still like hacked them and emulated them, even though like the Wii U, it's like, what do you have like a, you know, and the same with the motion control of the Wii, where it's like you're fundamentally not able to do a big part of.
Well, you can do it on the consoles though as well. You can.
Oh yeah, right. Get set them illegally up. Download. Yeah.
Piracy is like when we did that Mario episode, the Bandcamp thing a couple weeks ago. Mario Galaxy 2, I think, was the most pirated form of media at that point in time.
Yeah,
so like above movies and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like people really take a lot of money out of their fucking pockets.
And so I do remember the Wii specifically being incredibly simple to pirate.
The 3DS as well and the DS, there are those flashcards you can get for them very easily.
Yeah, DS was crazy easy. Yeah. I wonder if that'll happen. I guess, I mean, if it could happen for the DS with and that being cartridges, like the Switch probably can't be too far off.
Well, because Nintendo was going and offering people like $50,000 if they could find an exploit and tell Nintendo about it like a fucking narc.
Yep.
Well, I didn't do any of that. I went into it was sold out at JB near where I was.
Wow.
So I had to go into EB and put down.
Oh, no.
And I was like, this should count for two sales. This, I mean, I'm paying full premium top dollar. I hope someone up the chain hears
they
about this.
They do price matching at EB.
Yeah, but I didn't have anything on me that had the price of what it was at JB.
They have the internet. They will do it from that.
Yeah.
Well,
you can just tell them.
Yeah. Storm back in there and demand your money.
All right. I'm going back to Adelaide. I'm flying up there. I'm going back there and I'm getting my $10 off.
Oh, yeah.
What's Adelaide EB like?
Fine. I mean, it's one of those ones now where it's like, it's got the Zinc. Is it Zinc? Which is their store that sells all the pop culture stuff.
Oh.
So in some of them here, they're separate stores or the one in. The famous Swanston Street EB, which we've talked about before.
The mecca, gaming mecca.
The Zinc is like on the bottom level, like a little dirty little dungeon full of Rick and Morty, you know, pop figurines.
Yes.
But some of them, including the Adelaide one, it's like they've been they've been forced to live together in harmony. Oh, so it's like, but it, so it's like everything kind of mixed together. So it's like, hey, you want this copy of Super Mario Odyssey? Well, right next to it, what if you also had a piggy bank in the shape of one of the question mark blocks?
Oh. Here's Rick and Morty. Did you get any Rick and Morty stuff?
Not smart enough, so no. I didn't pass the test.
I knew that you wouldn't get Rick and Morty.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
See what I did there?
No, can you explain it to me?
You motherfuckers.
I don't have a physics degree. What do you want me to say?
Lying down on a couch with a fan blowing directly on you, you could not look more like a stereotypical Rick and Morty fan. Like, that's the only thing that makes that joke good is that you, it just, it's believable.
Mom!
Oh. I need a pickle Rick. It's cool. I dabbed.
So much visual stuff from you on this episode.
Oh boy, I honestly, I don't do well in the heat. I shouldn't.
I mean, you're overheating. You can just not do the action and say you did it. That's one way to keep cool.
Yeah.
But yeah. So anyway, I got Doom on the Switch. A lot has been said about. You know, it's downscaled, obviously, from the PS4 and Xbox versions of it. I am someone who's not played. It before in any capacity.
Yep.
And I'm loving it. Knox, you called it. It's great.
Yeah.
It's a really, really fun game.
It's fucking awesome. You liked it as well, right?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah. But it still took me like 6 months after, I guess, after you even said how good it was to be like, I guess I'll get it on a PS, you know, in sale and I'll give it a go. And fuck, it's great.
Well, I only remember when I was playing it. Like, we were, when the trailers were coming out before it came out, we were shitting on it. Like, we thought it was going to be like the worst thing that had ever happened. And then it comes out and it's getting some 70s and stuff on Metacritic. And we're like, okay, this seems to be like not bad.
It looked so tone deaf.
Yeah.
And like late 90s, early 2000s.
Well, the box art was shitty. And you notice now, I don't know if they're doing this for other releases of it as well, but the Switch version of it, the cover art is like the original Doom cover. Like they've kind of gone back to like, that's a cool image. Like, let's just use that.
Yeah.
Like
climbing the body of demons.
Yeah.
And playing through Call of Duty and Wolfenstein the last couple of weeks as well, the first-person shooter genre in a lot of the same way as like the open world thing has just gotten fucking lazy in the last few years.
Yeah.
And Doom is the total antithesis of that. And I think it's suffered from what you presuppose about it from seeing it and assuming that it's taking itself seriously.
Which, like, you got to judge what they actually put out. Like, the heavy metal music in the track, like, they did not sell it well, I don't think.
But it totally works in the context of the game.
Absolutely.
It's surprising how much, like, I played Doom a fair bit back in the day, like the PC one, and it was surprising to me, even though it looks completely different, but it was surprising to me how much of it did feel the same of like,
oh yeah,
you go around these rooms and you get these keys and then you can't go into this, like just it retaining that very, very 90s first person shooter feel, and then everything else being completely reskinned and new, I thought was such a cool design that there's this thing kind of in the back of your head where I couldn't remember anything specific about playing Doom, but just as soon as I was worked out that that's what the gameplay loop of this was, I was like, oh, that's right. Yeah. Like, that's what you did in these games.
There's a few games that we've talked about over the past like 18 months that have nailed the it's not actually how it played back in the old days, but it feels like
what you remember it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Doom is a fantastic example of
totally that. Same idea. It's all about speed and about like being really athletic.
Yes.
In a weird way.
So well, when we talked about Wolfenstein last week, you were saying that like I just thought I was just flat out bad at first-person shooters, but you were saying that you were finding it on the normal setting difficult in the way that the environments are laid out. And now playing this, like, I absolutely get what you were saying. Like, and I resent Wolfenstein even more now for making me feel like I was even worse at first-person shooters than I actually am. Because it's like, when you're in a big area and you can actually strafe around and it's not these areas that are kind of designed to, you know, make you feel dumb and catch you off guard.
Yeah.
When it's like, here's this area, you kind of get what the layout is. Now there's 20 of these things and you just got to fucking go for it.
And there's pillars and there's archways and you can lead them down one and really quickly move around and you can flank
use them.
You can
use them to your advantage or you can be tripped up by them. Yeah. And there's
a lot of room for like improvising.
Yes.
This is a really cool thing where Wolfenstein felt like, okay, I'm going to bang my head against this until I feel like until I figure out the easiest path of least resistance way through this.
Right.
But Doom, it's fun to
play around with it, you know.
It just it's one of the, you know, it's one of the better examples in recent years of it just understands that it's just be fun. Just yes, be really fun. Totally. I mean, those gory kills, so for people who haven't played it, like if you've unloaded enough, if your enemy's weak enough, they flash orange.
Yeah.
And if you on the Switch's case, if you push down on the right stick, you do this like close up insane kill where you like rip their head off or like stomp them with your boot. And I find
myself their own tooth into their skull.
Yeah. I find myself just living for those moments. Like they're so satisfying to pull off. And like if I'm just shooting something and then it flashes orange for a second and I accidentally shoot it again and then kill it and don't get to do the gory thing, I'm like, ah, fuck. Like, you just live for those moments because it's so satisfying and fun.
They also give you, what, health back?
You
health
get more
as well.
Yeah.
Which ammo, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe you get more. You do get more benefits for having. And the same with the chainsaw. Like, when you use that a lot, you get definitely a lot more ammo.
It's so smart that it makes you not fucking sit there and take cover.
Totally.
You have to move towards the enemy.
It's fun to barrel through, and it also is rewarding to keep barreling through.
Yeah. And, like, the shame for me was I bought it in Adelaide and then played a big chunk of it waiting at the airport and then on the flight back, and I'd forgotten to have my headphones with me, so I was playing it in silence and liking it heaps even in spite of that. But then it was funny, like, getting up to a bit, plane lands, I put the console to sleep, I get home, I put it into the dock and play it on the TV, and I have no idea what any of the sound design is at this point. And it was jarring, like, turning, and I'm like, oh fuck, there's heavy metal music playing this whole time.
Yeah,
but it's, and I've missed heaps of the quote unquote story because I realized there's heaps of like voice communication happening at you like the whole time you're going through. I'm like, I'm really keen to actually like go back and do those first couple of missions now to kind of catch up on all that stuff.
Yeah. And the audio is so fucking good, and the music fits so well. It's an Australian dude,
right?
Mick Gordon is his name,
right?
Which is really cool. He has some videos that I watched on YouTube of him going through his process of making and showing all his equipment.
Oh,
stuff.
Right,
it's really interesting.
I think not just the music, but the voice acting, the sound design, and the visual design. It's all like this kind of like Total Recall, the original Total Recall, like Arnie. Like pulp sci-fi, like it's just all really good.
Like, and the design of it doesn't really feel like it's going to be a thing where you get to the end and go, okay, like it does feel like something that it's like, man, I reckon I'll be keen to go through it again and just like, and even leaning into that, it's got an arcade mode that is all about replaying it, replaying sections to get the highest score, and you can pick your loadout and get score multipliers, which is such a clever way of extending the longevity of it. Just make the initial thing fun enough that you want to play these sections again in short bursts to get the highest score.
It's got the snap map thing as well, where other people make maps. Is that on the Switch?
So the Switch version does not. That's the one thing that is...
Oh, that's a shame.
That's the big thing that's missing from the Switch version.
Because that's actually... I found that pretty cool.
On
the original version of it. And it has the multiplayer though, but you have to download a separate thing.
Yeah,
to
it has the multiplayer, which I haven't tried yet. So I guess for me, like, playing it... Like, this was the big thing about it, is like, well, how's it going to be received? And for me, having not played any of the first version of it, it doesn't feel like a compromise. Like, if I didn't know that it was a port, a downscaled port, I wouldn't be like, oh, this is a bit... I would be like, oh, cool, this is a cool game that looks really good on the Switch.
Right.
Like, it runs smooth, like... I guess, I mean, there's technical limitations, but it doesn't look shitty. Like, and being able to have it on the small screen is great. It looks great and crisp on the small screen. Right. Like, I watched a couple of like side by side comparison videos last night of PS4 and Switch, and to be honest, like, it was doing the thing of like the slider going across the screen, and it would start on the Switch one, and I would think, oh, this bit will obviously be, you know, heaps improved, and the stuff that I thought would be upgraded is just the same. Like, it's more just like finer details in backgrounds and stuff like that. But it doesn't, I mean, maybe I'd be interested to hear if you guys get a chance to spend some time with it or whatever, like if I give you my copy, like how it sticks out to you. But I mean, you know.
I'll definitely play through it again. The only reservation, it sounds from what you've been saying that they're good, but how are the controls with it on the Switch?
So this is, I mean, for me, like, I'm one of the very, very few people that doesn't find the Joy-Con troubling over an extended period of time.
Right.
So that was a big thing that I had heard, was that in handheld mode, you just can't control it with the Joy-Con. You can tweak the sensitivity a lot, And I, like, once I kind of turned that up, I found it fine. Like, I actually, keeping in mind that I played the, you know, the opening, only the opening 2 hours in handheld mode on the plane,
right.
which, you know, maybe if I'm further on, it might become more challenging to have that level of dexterity. But I'm probably not a great one to ask because I don't mind the Joy-Con. I don't mind handheld mode as a default. But definitely, like, getting it, then sitting down with the Pro Controller, it's like, well, yeah, this is better, but that's true of everything. But
right. And that probably just feels like playing a FPS on a PS4. Like,
yeah,
I'm sure,
but being able to sit and have
the
Doom
sticks
on a plane,
the Switch
is,
are like a little worse is the only thing. Those
on the
Joy-Con ones.
Oh, the Joy-Con ones, yeah. Absolutely. That's, yeah. I mean, they're...
But I don't play anything on the Switch with the Joy-Con.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just avoid them.
But yeah, just
having it in handheld mode is great, but yeah, anyway.
But yeah, just like, you know, I'm flying to Perth on Thursday and like now deliberately sitting on it for a bit because it's like, man, that's... Fuck, I can't wait. Just 3 hours of Doom on a plane is great. And, you know, like... The thing I wanted to talk about, which, you know, is kind of a point, like the people talking about it being downscaled and saying like, well, you know, you can get it for like $10 on the PS4. So, you know, fucking it's a bit crooked that it's full price on the Switch. And it's not. Like, that's a valid reason to not buy it if you already own it for $10 or you have it on a PS4.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a full game that's come out that they just have to charge full price for because that's how being a consumer works.
Yeah.
Like, no one's getting ripped off here. Like,
I can see a world, or not a world, I can see a perspective in which that makes sense and is fair, but we live in a world where it is available for cheaper.
Yeah.
This is very lofty. This is about the world.
I think it's how you have to view it.
I think
like,
I agree, yeah.
Like,
I agree, but yeah. I'm saying I agree with that as a reason for someone not buying it. Like, well, you know, I want to get it on PS4 for $10. Fine. But I don't think they're at fault for making it this cost when it's come out in the shops.
It's not illegal, but it's stupid. Like,
it's more just a shame that it's taken this. Hopefully, it would be great if we get to a point where the Switch is a viable enough option for third-party developers where the downscaled version just comes out at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's just an option if you'd rather play it on the go that you have. I think that's unlikely, but it's more just a victim of the timing of when it's come out. What are they meant to do? Make it $10 in the shops because
timing affects price.
I think, Tommy, maybe the way you're thinking about it is like you're attaching Doom for Switch to Nintendo and the Switch and the pricing being linked to the Switch and the Nintendo company and all of that stuff. It's like, no, Doom is a Bethesda distributed game that's been out for a year.
Yeah.
So it should be on parity with the other ones.
If they had made it just digital, then sure. But the fact that part of their thing has been put it into shops, you just can't bring a game out and have it a physical for $10.
It's not that it's not $10. It's weird that it's not $30 or $40.
Yes.
Yeah, sure, sure. Yes,
that,
sure.
It's the fact that, like LA Noire is fucking more expensive than Bethesda.
Bethesda making it a $40 physical release on Switch isn't losing Nintendo money.
Yeah.
And it's not losing Bethesda money.
Well, that's more to my point. It's not. I don't think that it's got anything to do with Nintendo losing money. It's more just like that's how. Like, if it wasn't out on. Here's the thing: if it wasn't out already on the PS4 for $10, then it just wouldn't be an issue. It'd just be like, oh, here's a full game that's come out that is full price.
Yes.
Now, like, I know that we do live in a world where that's a case, but I personally don't feel like that's a fault of Bethesda for releasing it at that price point.
I do.
I just think it's unfortunate timing, and maybe like. Yeah, maybe they would have been smarter to do it in that way to like make it half the price, but
it really
it
reminds me of when the Wii U came out and it's like, here's Mass Effect 3, like Batman Arkham City, whatever the other ones were, you know, these games that are like a year old now, and this is what we're fucking putting our best foot forward with on the Wii U for full price, and it was just really unappealing.
And just like from a consumer view, it's like, it's like you release. It's like a electronics company releases a portable movie viewing device.
Yeah,
and then the only way to get movies on it is, you know, through a proprietary system.
Yeah,
and then they release Titanic on it, and it costs $90.
That is the UMDs for PSP.
Yeah.
And nobody fucking ever bought Hitch. Hitch was always the lead one.
And it's like, if you can get it on DVD or for free or on Netflix, then you can't justify charging $80 for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, like I said, I think it's a valid reason to not go in, but I, like, personally, I don't have an issue with them having charged that much for it. I think in the sense that maybe then it means it won't sell as well as it deserves to, yeah, and like, yeah, more exactly. of this stuff won't get made. Yeah. But I paid full price for it, and in no way do I feel like I've been Scrooged here. It's, I'm like, this is a great game, and yeah. it's heaps yeah. of fun, and it's yeah. it's worth the money. Like, that's the thing. I personally think it's worth the money. Like,
yes. And I guess, like, the other perspective is if you only own a Switch,
exactly,
then it's a fucking great game, it and is. Of course you exactly. buy it.
But also, I think it's fine to be bitter about having to pay a Switch tax
yes.
on this game.
Yep.
Yeah. So,
anyway.
Yep.
Well, and it's going to come up again with Skyrim and again with L.A. Noire.
Yeah.
Yes. Which are both more expensive than they should be for games that came out in 2011.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, those two. I mean, Doom still. I mean, that's the other thing. It's like Doom has been heavily discounted, but it's. What was it last year?
It was yeah. like May or something last year.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. it's not insanely, insanely old, which no. which yeah. Skyrim and I don't know what Rocket League. Rocket League's digital only.
Rocket League's yeah. a couple years old, and that's about the same price as it is on everything.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I mean, I would be interested to know their, like, Bethesda's, like, decision to do that, because they could have just gone, oh, it's digital only and it's $30 or $40. I imagine yeah. the cost is making it physical and putting it into shops.
I don't know. Cave Stories, $40 that when it came out. Binding of Isaac was like that. There's plenty of physical
yeah.
games
yeah.
that were cheaper
yeah.
when they came out.
I think Skyrim is probably actually the exception, because what you're doing there is paying a portability tax, which is same pretty reasonable.
Doom, that's true. Yeah, that's kind of it. That's yeah. true of everything.
Yeah.
Like, well, I mean, fucking Skyrim, those weirdos to keep in fucking. I saw the VR version of that at PAX
yeah.
for the PS4, and it looks fucking awful.
Oh, really?
It really looks terrible. Something I didn't think about that they haven't fixed
yeah.
is you know how in normal Skyrim, where you look at something and you push the button and it picks it up? You don't pick it up with your hand, so it's this very mechanical, awkward thing right, of you looking yes. at an object and then hitting
hovering in front of you. Yeah.
Exactly, hitting yeah. the butter button wherever, hitting yeah. the butter, go, I can hit the butter up. I'm so hungry. Probably why I'm grumpy. Anyway, yeah, I just look, it's sick if someone wants to play Skyrim again or if they haven't played it.
Man, I'm probably in the minority at this point, but yeah, I've never played it. And I say this all the time, but it's like everything that comes out now, like, I just wish everything was on the Switch, because
yeah.
that's yeah. really the only time I get to really sink time into stuff is if I can take it with me. And yeah, I've never played it. It looks fun. People talk about it. Like,
I'd kind of yeah. be stunned if it held up particularly well today. You know what I mean? Like, it's quite old now, and
yeah.
it was kind of fucking janky at the time.
As strong as I was on Doom on Switch, I'm 100% getting Skyrim on Switch.
Yeah, right.
I never got it on the PS. Like, this is how, like, granular these weird releases are. It's like, for me, where I never got it on the Switch on the PS4 in that, like complete edition, whatever.
Mm.
Oh, the enhanced one, yeah.
And I'm not using my PC anymore, really.
Yeah.
It's coming out on the Switch. I loved it. I want to play it again, and the bonus of being able to take it anywhere is yeah. enough for me to definitely get it.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, cool, for me, and like, I just have a purpose-built solution to what I want to do with
but
Skyrim.
But I guess this is what it comes out, like, you know, that's like what I was saying about Doom and its price point is like, it yeah. just depends on whether that stuff all matters to you or not. Like,
yeah.
it is still a game that is going to take you a long time to get through, that yeah. you're going to have a lot of fun with.
Yep.
And yeah, when you stack it up, it's as old as it is. You can easily get it for cheaper elsewhere. It is kind of dumb, but it just speaks to, like, you've got to kind of respect them for just going, pricing it at, you know, at what it's originally worth. Because
yeah.
yeah, because if they just assume that everyone's coming to it again or everyone has the option of a PS4,
yeah.
they're probably selling themselves short. Like, you kind of yeah. have to do look at it and just pretend the other stuff doesn't exist and go, you want it on the Switch. Here it is on the Switch.
Yeah.
This is what it costs. This is what it costs to get it day one on something else. And yep. you're, you know, if you've never played it, then you're having that same experience. So,
and I guess,
I don't know. But
I
it guess, is,
yeah.
if it is thorny.
If
like,
if Skyrim comes out on the Switch day one and it's like $80, then maybe I'm waiting a couple of paydays to get it.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah.
How I mean, much this is the other. I don't actually know.
I don't know.
It'll be.
Let's dig
it'll
into
be
this.
60 or 70.
Do some detective work like that LA Noire game that's for some reason, because someone blindfolded themselves and threw a dart at a wall.
Yeah.
That game is fucking coming out again.
Well, again, this is what I'm saying is like, I feel like I should do. Like, I want third-party stuff to thrive on the Switch, so I kind of feel like I should go in on all these games just to put the money behind it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, LA Noire, like, it seems like something that I'm like, Doom I was confident I was going to enjoy, so I was like, oh, whatever, I don't mind spending the money on this. Skyrim kind of feels the same. LA Noire is like, I'm kind of 50-50 on this.
I'm not convinced that game was ever good.
But here's the other thing. They're all, like, the fact that And Rocket League as well. So within about a week and a half, all four of these big third-party games of the year are coming out at the same time, which just feels like they're going to all butt heads against each other, and none of them will sell especially well enough to convince. So I don't know.
So Skyrim's $80 from EB Games.
That's nuts.
Which is kind of nuts. That kind of more than I was hoping to pay for it.
I could buy you a real 6-year-old for that much money. I've got connections.
So
people with their connections.
I mean, that's kind of the situation I described. Like, if it's $80, maybe I'm not getting it straight away.
Oh, it's nuts.
LA Noire's 80 as well.
That's
which is
crazy.
For a game that's not, like you said, not that great to begin with.
And like, I've got to say, I'm not in the market to fucking play Skyrim on my microwave or whatever anyway.
Yeah.
But it's so, like, they've made some changes to LA Noire apparently where like, instead of it being, what is it? Well, it was like, believe,
doubt
or lie. Or
yes.
Doubt or lie. Now it's good cop, bad cop.
Yeah. And then lie, Which is a good change.
It makes a lot more sense than the system they had.
A little bit late.
Yeah, exactly.
A little bit late.
Maybe by more than half a decade.
Yeah.
It's
Monopoly on Switch, $60.
Monopoly is $60 on Switch. Yeah,
wow, right. how'd they manage to charge that much?
Batman the Telltale series is going to be $60
right
when it comes out.
Oh,
how
that's
do you feel
a
about
news
that?
Thing. Telltale let go of a bunch of people.
Yeah, feel worse about that having heard that.
25% of their staff.
Yeah, fuck. And they're if they're flogging the first season of Batman for $60, surely they can pay their staff.
Sonic Forces is $49. That seems like that would be more expensive. That's still too expensive for what it is. But that's release game that feels like it'd be $70.
I think they
knew what they had.
Exactly. Like,
it's probably smart. It's just I think people like Skyrim has this weird nostalgia around it, especially,
and also a huge player base that continue to play it.
It's
and
unbelievable
mod it and,
to me. I don't understand. Where that comes from?
I do. It's just a massive open world that's very detailed and intricate, and there's a million quests to do. And it's not the most interesting mythology, but it's just, it has that thing that we kind of have talked about with previous games like Morrowind and other open world games where it's like, it's a big open world where you can do anything you want. And
I never felt that do anything you want, because I always felt the mechanics of that game were so constricting.
Right.
In that you moved at a pretty regular, the combat was pretty dodgy, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Where you had to use your imagination a lot with it, I feel like.
Yeah.
Which is cool in its own way. And I don't, but it's just something that isn't, it doesn't measure up to more modern stuff like with The Witcher 3 and whatever.
Sure. It feels
that
like
game
playing
is
it
very
now.
Very outdated now.
Yeah, sure. It feels like playing it now for me will suffer from having played Breath of the Wild.
Totally.
Already.
Yeah.
Because an art style that I adore. So it's like, kind of doing all this stuff, but it just doesn't look personally in the style
it's
of things
been,
that I
enjoy. So completely outdone.
Yeah.
Every one of its elements has
But I think, the thing is that when it came out, it was the game that a lot of gamers dreamed about.
It's
the most ambitious and expansive you could have even imagined at the time. It's like there's mountains and forests and rivers and oceans that you can just fucking walk into and do whatever
totally.
You want.
Even
Great.
Then, it didn't measure up necessarily to Morrowind at the time, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, but it's. I'm not saying it's bad.
Yeah.
It's just fucking weird to like. To have these really fucking old games come out and
But that's all it is. I mean, if this was just a home console that was just a new Nintendo, it wouldn't be happening. It's all just the appeal of like, people love this. They're going to want to take it with them on the train.
LA Noire is literally happening on the PS4 and Xbox One as well.
Yeah,
though.
No, that is. That's
and it's Skyrim last year.
That's very strange.
LA Noire is the strange one. It's like, it was a game that was kind of shit on by critics.
Yeah.
It didn't do well.
Yeah. I just really hope that these do well enough because, like I said, I would love if it's feasible for rather than, these games coming out months after and suffering from the fact that you can now play them for cheaper on the PS4 or whatever. If they develop them in tandem, there's a downscaled version.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, LA Noire isn't the example that I want, but man, I'm happy. I'm more than happy to see ports of last gen games.
I'm totally stoked to buy Rocket League again.
I
want a portable version of that. That's
I want a GTA on there. Like you know, I'm fine if like I don't care. Like you know, if it's something that I never played or I like it enough, like you know what, I'm happy to pay full price again. I know that's just I know not everyone. I know that's not how everyone feels and obviously everyone's circumstances are different, but yeah, I think it's an interesting month and I'll be interested to see what the sales do because this feels like the test and if these four all flop, then I just don't think we're ever going to get, you know, we'll get heaps of indies still, but the dream of having like a Red Dead or whatever on there is just not going to happen.
I feel like it's not the test. Like I feel like it's a really weird time in video games and hardware especially where it feels like Nintendo should just do the Switch 2, the Switch, and that's their new thing.
Yeah.
So that it's always a portable slash home console that has that benefit.
It would be bizarre if they, looking well into the future, it would be bizarre if they went backwards.
The next one's a full arcade cabinet. You can't even fit it in your house, let alone take it anywhere.
There's no way this isn't just what they do from now on.
Totally.
With varying degrees of upgrade. And
the same for Sony and Microsoft. Like, they're just going to be better consoles. So because the Switch is so new and this is so weird and because it's so successful, I think we're going to still have to wait a little bit for that to catch up. But
anything close to parity, you mean? That's fair. But
I think it makes sense. I think it will happen, right? Yeah. Like the Switch has been incredibly successful.
Yeah, but the fact that Doom is as good as it is I think great. Like they deserve a lot of. And it's easy to shit on it and look at it side by side and go, oh, the textures aren't as good and it's 30 frames per second versus 60 frames. But it's just a reminder that when the gameplay is good, when you're in the middle of it, like you don't care. And it's also it's also worth remembering, like, what a luxury of the time we live in that you can look at Doom on the Switch, which just by itself does look great and go, eh, bit of a letdown. Like, it's a very blessed position. Like, let's not forget that.
Let's go back
in
time 10 years and play Assassin's Creed on the DS.
Exactly.
Fucking those or even on Splinter Cell ports
just
they made.
A slightly bad PC. Yeah. Like, games were so hampered by
how
specs
quickly,
back then.
How quickly we're able. And it's like, I saw a bunch of comments of people just shitting on it. And it's like, cool, if you don't want to play it on the handheld, if you are never on the go and you have a PS4, then cool, you can still play it for $10 and have it look better. Like, no one's taking that away from you.
Exactly. It all doesn't matter. Like, it's not like the fucking Skyrim is being taken out of my debit card and shoved onto the Switch U2 style.
Yeah.
So it's
And taking the business and the financial stuff out of it, the fact that it runs cool on the Switch is great. Like, that's what we wanted. That's what we want to see for third-party games.
Yeah.
And the fact that it runs like a game is supposed to is the best thing.
Yeah. It's a lot of fun. So if you're listening and you've been on the fence and you're not sure about how it's run, I would say if you're someone like me who's never played it and you can afford it, like, and you're looking for something to play, like, definitely grab it. Like, it's heaps of fun.
Yeah.
Doom is one of the best games of last year.
Yeah. And I feel dumb for sitting on it for so long, but also, like, having it on the Switch it just suits me perfectly.
That's cool. Yeah. It's a good way to play it.
If you're listening we've talked about it on the show a lot, but to now add a third voice to it, even if you just are going in on the PS4, like, highly recommend it. Just fun. Just pure fun.
And it's for someone who's complained about the lack of proper games on the Switch, it's a proper game.
Yeah.
And it's totally. Yeah, and it's totally. Yeah.
I've got an envelope here in my hand. The final envelope. Oh, that's Ed McMahon. The final envelope. Ben Vanell, Adam Knox, Tommy Dasilo. Name three people who like Doom.
Oh,
that's nice. Just a nice
funny.
One.
Yeah,
it's a
shame
nice one to end on.
It's a shame we couldn't get a plug for the podcast in there. Like, didn't even mention that we're from a show that talks about games.
Johnny would sell anything. he did Daz and whatever those
Is this better than being invited over to the desk?
This is no, you said like motion people over.
Yeah.
This is that, but with a single middle finger. A quick
it's very
thing
doom.
News that I just remembered then that's worth talking about.
Yeah.
That actor's strike is over.
Oh, the voice actors strike. Yeah, yeah.
That they wrapped that up and they came to an agreement. The stuff that they got out of it is so reasonable that I completely understand why they went on strike.
Right, right.
Because you know how it was a little sort of like up in the air about what specifically was being discussed, which I guess is what happens during strikes.
Yeah.
The sort of things that they've gotten, I don't remember all of it, but it was stuff like knowing the character you're going to play, but not even specifically the character. It's stuff of like you get to hear the code name of the project you're going to be working on.
Right.
You get to be told if the character is like recurring or is a major character from a previous game.
Yeah. Right.
You get to be told if you're required to do any physical motion capture stunt work.
Right.
Things like that are just the most basic, like any other job.
Yeah, yeah.
You would be furious if they didn't tell you what
not
you're doing before you showing up.
Yeah. Okay, so I have to wear overalls, but I don't know if I'm going to be a plumber, a carpenter, or...
One of them is you get told in advance if you need to say any, like, racist or homophobic language.
Wow.
You weren't even told that before. They're just like, oh, do it, actor, come on.
Yeah.
We don't even tell our guests on the show that.
So I'm good on them for settling that. There's some stuff of, like... screaming for hours at a time that isn't covered in it that they didn't get.
Jeez.
Which is...
There's no screaming for hours at a time clause.
No.
Fuck.
So Dragon Ball Fighters comes out next year.
So, hey, you know what? If you support that game, you're a fucking scab crossing the picket line. Well, guys, that brings us to the end of Filthy Casuals for another week. Thank you for joining us.
Before we sign off, I want to say Assassin's Creed Origins very much still on.
Ah, nice.
I like it more than I did last week. I think it's really, really good. Yeah.
I haven't had more time to go back into that, but I want to.
Yeah, maybe next week we can talk a bit more about it.
And Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Yeah. Mm. That's out, what, this weekend?
Friday, I think.
Friday, cool.
Yeah.
We've got our live show in Sydney, Saturday, December the 16th Cake Wines. You can find tickets for that at filthycasuals.com.au, which is where you can also find links to our Patreon if you'd like to support the show and get some sweet rewards for it. We also have t-shirts on sale that you can buy. And if you are in Sydney and coming to the live show, Adam and I are doing stand-up at the Comedy Store for the Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But if you want to get a ticket for the Saturday night after our live show, that's where we'll be if you want to come and continue the filthy party.
Have a few brews.
Oh, mate, just strong-arm piss like a fucking champion.
Oh,
yes, that's all we need to say. Filthycasuals.com.au for links to our social medias and all that kind of stuff. Thank you for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals, the envelope is out.
The final envelope.
The final envelope.
Thank you. The final envelope.
It's a wonderful David Tench that you're doing.
The Filthy Casuals podcast, Johnny Carson's career in 1991 or two, and people's tolerance for this running joke. Name three things that are very much over.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates. I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.